You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. It's a humbling opportunity that I get to continue on with our generosity series this morning. And as a church, I know that we pride ourselves on preaching the Bible, being Bible saturated, and that's something that I'm not taking lightly this morning. Taking you back into last week, Pastor Ben kicked off the generosity series, and if you remember the title, it was Impossible to Possible. Is that right? Do you guys remember those 3 points? Turning the impossible to possible. The first point he mentioned that is if we look inwardly, it hinders generosity. It should be on the screen behind me. If we look inwardly, it hinders generosity. If we look outwardly, what does that do? It also hinders generosity. But if we look upwardly, what do we see? We see the West Coast Eagles flying high. Is that right? Is that up? That's so good. West Coast Eagles. We've got Shuey on the right there. He's so good. I love the Eagles. No, that's a joke. That's my last joke. The last point of last week's message was that if we look upwardly, it fosters generosity. Is that right? This morning, continuing the generosity series, I want to share with you a well-known biblical event. And that's the account of the widow's offering. You probably also know it as the widow's mite or the widow and her two coins. And I just want to mention those two coins that are over there. Thank you so much, Zanette. I know that you don't like us mentioning everything you do, but that's lovely, and I believe that that's going to really illustrate what's happening. This biblical event occurs in two Gospels, the Gospels of Mark and Luke. And this morning, I'd love to just navigate us through the Gospel of Mark. Before we dive into the text, would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open up your word. With all the things that you've placed in my heart over these last few months, these last few weeks about generosity, especially about how Jesus observes this situation, how Jesus observes the offering of the widow, would you speak through me this morning? Would there be clarity? Would there be none of myself, but all of you? Holy Spirit, I pray that you would begin to move now in our hearts as we tackle this area of generosity. Help us to grow and help us to focus on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Read text. Oh, that's a note for me. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 through 44. If you've got your Bibles, please open up. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins with only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." What's happening in this text? The setting is the temple treasury. This place where Jesus is called the Court of Women. Jesus is here. He's observing, the text says. He's watching people come, put their offering in. It says there's the rich throwing in large amounts, and then there's this poor widow that comes and drops two coins. At this, Jesus calls over his disciples and says that she's given more. In verse 43, Jesus calls over his disciples, and he uses this as a teaching opportunity for them. Perhaps this morning, God is using this same biblical event, this message, these observations, as a way to speak to us about generosity. My other part-time job is IT, and I work in a high school. I love both my jobs, and for me, being the tech guy, the first thing that I do when I don't know something or when I want to clarify something, I go to Google. So this word generosity has been in my head for the last quarter of the year, last few months, and so I was like, generosity, what's this all about? So I go to Google. I go, okay Google, and say, hey Google, what is generosity?
The quality or fact of being plentiful or large.
Awesome. That's one for Joe Ballantyne. Joe loves okay Google. Now, by that definition, you could say, if you're looking at the text, would you say that the rich were generous? They have large amounts. They gave large amounts. But however, it's in Jesus' observation and what he teaches his disciples that this clearly isn't the case. We can learn a lot about what we see, how we see what Jesus sees. We can learn a lot about what Jesus observes. To explore this and a challenge, I think, in this morning, I'd love to share with you two observations. And the first observation is this: generosity is concerned with the how, and I'll explain that in a little bit. And secondly, generosity must come from a place of sacrifice. Generosity is concerned with the how. Observation one, here we go. Looking at Jesus' observation, I think it's clear that it shows that what we give isn't important. Rather, it's how we give. And I think this is what Jesus observes. It's not about the portion that's in our hand. Rather, it's about the posture of our heart. Perhaps we have a God who sees the heart and not the hands. Let me show you this using the comparisons found in the text. Verse 41, it's described that the rich, here they threw in large amounts. Now, isn't it true that if you were to do something to be seen, to be made known, you sort of do it in a large and loud kind of way? Something that I love to do, I love to observe people in a super non kind of creepy way, right? But I love to watch, and because you find that you learn a lot about people by observing. And, you know, being a young adult, I love to see what's happening in society and stuff, but how I do that is I go online. I love Facebook. I love YouTube, because you can see a lot of things happening on there, how people interact. But there was this trend on YouTube a few years ago. I don't know why they did this, but there was this trend on YouTube where people, YouTube personalities would go out and they would do these random acts of kindness. It's random, right? So random that they have someone following them and filming them. So usually it starts off with a guy that has $100 and he's like, hey, I've got $100, I'm going to hit the streets of blah, 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 and I'm going to give this out and find someone in need and give it to them. And you're watching it and they'll go out and they're like, wow, like, what's your situation? How are you going? I've got this for you. I hope this is going to help you. And I think this resonates with us because as Christians, like, we're called to go and help the poor and the needy, right? But when I watch these videos, you kind of cringe because you're like, this can be something that can be done in private, in the quiet. We don't know what the intention of these videos are, but that's what you could probably see. Coming back to the text, I think the posture or the how of when we give is something that's important to Jesus. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. It says this: be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they received their reward in full. Turning our attention back to the widow now, in comparison to the rich, verse 42, but the poor widow came and put in 2 very small copper coins. I think the author here is making it real clear. He's making a point now. You will notice that the rich, they threw in their large amounts, whereas the poor widow, she comes and she puts the 2 coins. It's the same acts, but done in 2 very different ways. Now, in comparing the two, what do we notice? We notice that Jesus takes note of this. We have a God who sees the posture of the heart and not the portion in the hand. In the Old Testament, we see the same God. In the book of Samuel, Samuel's commissioned by God to go and find a new king. And he gets led by God to the house of Jesse in Bethlehem. And Jesse's, he's got these strapping young boys, young men, and much like these young adults that are sitting over here. And he comes to the first son, Vincent, and he says, the Lord says, no, not him. He's got good teeth, but not him. And he comes, and everyone's looking away now because they don't want to make eye contact. They're scared, they're nervous. And it comes to Elvin. And the Lord says, no, you got a dislocated arm, bro. And then it comes to the third son. Maybe it's David Brady. Actually, no, that's the wrong David. That's David later. No. You got it. You're good. Good job. Good job. But the Lord says this to Samuel in verse 7, chapter 6. He says, 16, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at what? The heart. The heart. The heart of generosity. Now, how does this apply? How does this speak to us this morning? Perhaps with this first observation, it serves as a reminder to reassess how we've been giving or how we've been generous to God. Perhaps we've got to pause this morning and see what the motivation or the attitude has been behind our giving, the heart behind it. I want to ask you some questions as I wrap up the first observation. Has your giving been out of guilt? Is there joy in your giving? Maybe for some of us, your giving has always been about an amount. That if we gave God a certain amount, he would be pleased with us and he would bless us. Or maybe it's out of fear or guilt that I haven't been giving enough to God to please him. Maybe this morning God has reminded us that, what this whole giving thing is about. Generosity is about. Remember, it's not about the portion, rather it's about the posture, your position of our hearts. Because we have a God who sees the heart and not the hands. My encouragement is in the coming weeks in your Connect groups, discuss this. Come to the Word of God and look at how you've been giving to God. Maybe explore different areas where we can grow in this mindset of giving or generosity. That's the first observation. Second observation is this: generosity must come from a place of sacrifice. Generosity must come from a place of sacrifice. Verse 44, we see another comparison. And Jesus says this in verse 44. He says, they all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything. All she had to live on. By doing this, Jesus makes it very clear that the widow gave more than all the others. In my reading and study of this text, I believe that generosity must come from a place of sacrifice. It must cost you something. I was reminded yesterday, when I first became a Christian, God radically changed my life. And I'd love to share that story one day. But when I first became a Christian, God started ripping out things from my life, taking things out. And I had a lot of things that I had to let go, and it costed me. And something that God spoke to me, and it sounds silly when I say it, I was really young at the time, but a sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it's a sacrifice. A sacrifice isn't a sacrifice unless it costs you, unless it hurts you. I'll use this example. If someone, we're talking about generosity, if someone today were to give me $1,000, actually, no, scrap that, make it $10,000. My first message, I can be dramatic, $10,000. I'd be like, you are my new best friend, Kathy who? $10,000. It's probably not easy for me to come by $10,000. I'll probably never see $10,000 in my bank account that easily. I would say that's extravagant. That's plentiful. That's large. I could do heaps of things with $10,000. That's awesome. That's generous. I love you. But if you find out that $10,000 came from a multi-billionaire, would you say that would cost them? Would you say that they would miss that amount? Would you say that would dent them? Probably not. That would be a small amount compared to, what they had. But if someone were to say to give me $12 this morning, $12 is a random number. I know, I mean, you could at least round it up to $20, but let's just say $12. And I might just add that I might go to Trevin after church service and have a bowl of pho with that $12. I had to Google how much a bowl of pho was at Trevin. $12. I'll be like, yeah, that's nice. That's very good. that's quite generous. I'm your friend, sort of. But if you find out that that $12 came from a uni student, I want to pick on someone who's a uni student, Joanne. You're on front, sir. If that $12 came from Joanne, and that $12 was the last $12 that Joanne could have for a purchased meal, and because she's a Sun Lifer, you know, she was catching up with friends and praying and doing soap and all that Sun Life stuff that we do, that was the last $12 that she had, and she gave it to me, I would say that's a huge sacrifice. That's a massive sacrifice. And I will also enjoy that bowl of pho and say, bad luck, you're not getting it back. Giving must be sacrificial. It's got to cost you. And we see that Jesus sees this. So probably you might be asking the question, so why does it need to cost me? Why does it need to cost us? And I think it should cost us because it has to mean something. Because it has to mean something. We've got to look at the widow. We actually see a lot that's happening in this widow's offering. And I think the widow was able to give this kind of offering because she saw a greater need than herself. Perhaps she saw a greater purpose for what was in her hand. And maybe that's why she was able to give sacrificially. Looking at the text, it says, she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything all she had to live on. So by doing this, she not only gave all she had and all she had to live on, she gave all of herself. Isn't that right? If you were asked this morning to give everything away, your car, your finances, your house, your toys, whatever it may be, everything. Literally, if you imagine if you lost everything today, what would that cost you? It cost you your life. This passage that I've selected today begins by saying that Jesus was observing, he was watching. His eyes were on people giving their offerings. But I want to make a point of this and say that we can't be generous. We cannot be generous if our eyes are not on Jesus. If we think about it, had the widow been looking elsewhere? Had she been looking around those before her that is given these large amounts, would she have been able to do what she did? If she looked at people before her and compared their large amounts, would she be able to be generous? Think about the sermon last week. If she was looking inwardly and outwardly, would she be able to do it? No. Had she looked at her own circumstances, her own need, would she be able to give sacrificially? No. As a widow, she had no one to come home to. She had no one to look after her. She gave away the last of what she could have used to look after herself. She was only able to give sacrificially because her eyes were fixed on Jesus. In the New Testament, Paul encourages sacrificial giving. Join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 4. Paul writes this, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond, there's that word, their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, a very rich, sophisticated, spiritually blessed community, and he's encouraging them to give sacrificially. He's using the example of the Macedonians who were what? They were poor. They had poverty. They were in the midst of severe trials. How were they able to do that? Perhaps they saw a greater need. They pleaded. They were eager to be a part of that. They saw a greater need and they wanted in. My mother-in-law, I mean, I've got a lot of family here this morning, so thank you for coming. But my mother-in-law, she, who likes getting calls from their mother-in-law? Everyone's like, it's okay. It's okay. I get this call from my mother-in-law, and she's super excited that I'm sharing for the first time. And you know, I've probably got to make note that she's someone that's invested in me so much in my early Christian walk. She's actually the person that led me to Christ, and I accepted Christ. She prayed for me, and I accepted the Lord. And when I met God, I really, you know, God really stole my heart. And little did she know, by doing that, I would steal her daughter's heart 3 years later. So maybe she would have had to rethink that. But anyway, mother-in-law, she gives me a call. She asked me what am I preaching about? What am I sharing about? And I said, generosity. I do my best to explain generosity. She kind of pauses and she says, oh, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. She gave me one piece of advice. And she says, you can't share anything that you haven't experienced yourself. And I think that's so true. And so I'm asking God, you know, what examples in my life can I share and encourage Sun Life this morning about generosity or giving sacrificially? And I've got to take us back, I'll be honest, I'll just share a personal story about family. Take us back, timeline's probably wrong, but maybe about a year ago. The church leadership came and presented to the church, hey, church, we have found this property over in Oxford Street. And it's a beautiful place, and we can see this place reaching the community. And as Kathy and I were listening, and we were new Sun Lifers at the time, newly married at the time. And we were saying, this is amazing. We want to be a part of this. And we really struggled because being newly married, you know, we were trying to figure things out. We probably didn't have a lot at the time. But we wanted to be a part of it. We wanted to contribute in some way. So the challenge from leadership was to go home and think about how we can contribute. So that's what we did. We went home and we were kind of nervous, but we sort of made this pact, say, hey, let's go our own ways, not get divorced or anything, but go our own ways in our own one-bedroom apartment and pray about it for a few days. And maybe let's seek God on our own and see how we can contribute to this. And we get back together and we'll discuss and talk about it. So that's what we did, a few days apart, prayed about it. God, you know, place in my heart a number where we can contribute. And I was getting nervous, I'm not going to lie. Because what God was saying to me, I was like, I don't know how we're going to achieve this. I don't know how we're going to do this. We don't have heaps. You know, if we do this, we're probably going to miss out on a lot of things. I don't even know how we're actually going to do it. Time came, we got back together, we started talking and praying and sort of made this pact to just say, hey, let's 3, 2, 1, say the number. So we got back together and said 3, 2, 1, 8.56 bitcoins. Joking. That's a lot of bitcoins. No, that's not right. He said this number. The amazing thing happened. We both said the same amount. And as much as that hurt us, as much as that costed us, there was so much joy. There was so much joy that we were able to do that. There was a greater purpose, a greater need, and we could be a part of it. And that was the only way we could do is because we kept our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Finally, I want to take us to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And we need not look far for a greater example of sacrificial giving than Jesus. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul says that Jesus was rich in all his riches and glory. He gave that up. He sacrificed his life for you and I, that we might become rich. And this is the most generous act we will ever come to know. So to close this second observation, I just want to ask, has your giving been sacrificial? Maybe this morning, this is a question you need to ask. You know, if our giving or generosity is to be sacrificial, perhaps we need to ask, is our giving costing us? Does it hurt? Do we not mind giving things up for the sake of others or for a greater cause or purpose? Is our eyes taken off ourselves and focused on Jesus? Now, I'm not going to sell it short this morning. I've got two observations, but I want to close with a conclusion. And I hope you've seen my observations this morning and God has been speaking to you. But it'd be a shame to leave it there. In church, often we talk about the three T's of how we can give. Three different areas. Perhaps God is challenging us or can challenge us this morning in these three areas. These three T's are our time, our talents, and our treasures. Perhaps it's time. For me, it's so easy to zone out and veg out because I've had a long week. Perhaps God has given us time and it can be useful. Perhaps it's to counsel, to catch up with people, to be the ear to hear, to be the shoulder to cry on. Perhaps God is challenging you or can challenge you this morning in that area. Perhaps this morning is God is speaking to some that He's entrusted you with talents or gifts. And we know that God gives us gifts for those around us, to be a blessing to those around us. Maybe for a while now, God has really made known to you that He's giving you a certain gift and you're just sitting on it. I'd encourage you to explore that. I'd encourage you to speak to a leader, speak to a ministry head and see how you can be involved, how you can use that to be a blessing for others. And finally, in the area of treasures, maybe with our finance, God has blessed us with our finance. Maybe God is tugging at your heart this morning to put that for His glory, to help those that are around Him.